Good morning. It is time for our date morning live. We're a little late to the game this morning. A lot of people were asking, like, hey, when are you going to do your Saturday morning dates again?
Yeah.
And, you know, we're back. So, my God, it's been
a whirlwind.
A heck of a week. Yes.
It's a good stress, though.
Well, that's what I want to talk about. That was the topic. How do you handle next level stress? And I think it's a great topic to talk about. And you know what? It doesn't even matter if you're a business owner, for the listeners. So how do you handle next level stress? And I would love to hear from you guys, because this has nothing to do with entrepreneurism. I mean, next level stress is, I mean, I have an adult child and I love him very much, but as they get older, it's like another levels of stress, like marriage, different levels of stress. And as an entrepreneur, we all hear like those different levels of stress. So I want to talk about stress and how do we handle it when it comes to next level? Because the one thing that I can guarantee you is that it's never going to go away, but it's how you handle it changes. So Chris, I told him it was yesterday. And then I guess today again in the car, I was like, I'm surprised I haven't broke him yet.
And I think you were doing a Facebook Live when you asked about how I'm doing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That was last night.
I'm good.
Yeah, he's good. But I want to hear from you guys. Do you feel like you're under stress constantly? How do you handle stress in your lives? Do you have some rituals? Do you have some steps you go through? And I want to explain to you guys like how I'm handling next level stress and what that looks like at like the next level, especially with launching this book. Well, forget launching the book, even writing the book, like the level of stress that it put me under. But then the book launch has put me like under a whole nother level of stress. And then all of the opportunity and momentum building from like the book launch preparation and all the things that are leading up to it. I would say if I was the old version of myself, I would have retreated.
Yeah.
I would have just like went and cried in a corner and I would have let it get to the best of me, like which is what we do most of the time in business or in life. We let it get to the best of us. So I want to share with you guys why I think I can handle like next level stress. And Chris, would you agree? Like we had this conversation earlier today.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, no, I would definitely agree. And I'd like to think that I think just about 6 months ago, really, or maybe a little bit longer, is you did go through this next evolution of Libby, this 10x version or this new future Libby. And at that time, it was a massive step. It was a massive jump. It was a massive, honestly, it was high stress because it was a completely new version. But, you know, handing it back off to you here, but the way I see it is when you have momentum, the momentum's going to keep going. And depending on the type of person that you are, this determines whether you stop that ball from rolling or if you just go with it.
Yeah.
And so I think right now you're at the position of the next 10X.
Yeah. And so the one thing I have to say that I think that's helped me with this next level of like stress. Oh, because I'm not going to lie. This book launch and proclaiming to the world that you're like a best-selling author and you have all this great stuff that you're hoping people want to read is not, it can be intimidating and you can let that get to you. You know, in that intimidation or that imposter syndrome sits in different times in our life, right? Like whether you're just starting your business, whether you have a message for the world, whether you're writing a book. But I have to say that the one thing I've noticed is that since our health journey, since being carnivore, and I'm a dirty carnivore, we're just going to say that to be completely transparent, like I'm a dirty carnivore. It's a term. And that's because we still drink coffee. So we're not like 100% carnivore.
Mine has heavy cream.
And mine has half and half. So, but ever since we went carnivore, I don't have stress or anxiety, which is really crazy to think about. Like prior to carnivore, yes, I exercised. Yes, we did date mornings. Yes, we walked. Like, yes, I did certain things, but I still have got frustrated, like snippy, like fighting with the kids or not fighting, but like, you know, being that crazy impulsive, like mom and manager and owner. But I have to say that I 100% believe like food was contributing to the stress or how I dealt with stress, how I handled the stress. Right now, the stress is, I'm not going to lie, like it's like a pressure cooker and you can feel the pressure, but it's not heavy. I don't have any anxiety. I'm like, I can definitely handle it, but you can feel like the pressure and the momentum building, but it doesn't feel heavy.
Yeah.
And so it's really interesting, kind of these evolutions. And Chris, like your past with anxiety, how's that? Like, do you notice a difference in it?
Yeah, I will say that, before the health journey and before a lot of this self-work, it was a lot of anxiety. It was a lot of just this, I just felt closed off. Like I couldn't keep up, or I couldn't, it's hard to explain. But I will say now that, because one of my biggest issues is, I have a million thoughts an hour. I'm an artist, let's just put it that way. I have a million thoughts an hour, and I can go deep into something. But before, just not being, in shape, not being healthy, like with what I eat.
But you were always skinny.
I was always skinny, but I was unhealthy.
Yeah.
But going deep into these rabbit holes, having a lot on my mind, it was even harder because it was blurry and there was never really this pure focus, this high concentration. We talk about it before in terms of like pure execution or intent. And I think it just made it so much harder because I couldn't even get a thought out. I couldn't even get an action out because I was so clouded that I couldn't decide what the next move was. And I think that alone is what caused me anxiety because I had this blocker, and every time I got to this blocker, I kept getting more nervous or stressed out or frustrated. And that's the whole analysis paralysis for me. That's
Yeah.
my history. So I think that's how it helped me being able to cut through the BS. Let's just say it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. And I mean, I was talking to a friend the other day and she was mentioning the same thing. Ever since, focusing on her food, she noticed her level of anxiety has like completely changed. And I think that like we let things get to the best of us, and that's not who we truly are. It's that we're influenced by kind of like our surroundings, our circumstance, what we're putting into our body. We're influenced by inflammation, which sounds so weird, but it's the root of all disease. And like you have to think about like all that inflammation in your brain. What was it doing to you to really like cause the littlest things to stress you out? Like, I don't know if any of you have been there as a mom or as a business owner, but when you like completely lose your shit over something so small, and now you look at it and you're like, oh my gosh, that was like not the proudest moment of my life. It's really interesting to kind of like look back and see. But I think it's also, we can call it like that 1%, 1% better every day, how it compounds over time, those micro moves. Is it wasn't just the eating, it's the eating with the exercise, it's the eating with the exercise and the mindset. And it's like, how do they all cohesively work together?
Yeah, and it even compounds. And I think for me, it was confidence. I've always struggled in the past with feelings of self-doubt, insecurity. Honestly, for the very first part of my professional career, when I was an audio engineer and everything leading up to it, because I looked so young, I had some extreme. So I'm talking about extreme self-doubt. I had thoughts of killing myself back when I was younger, and it wouldn't line up. But one of the things here recently was with the way I started to change the way that I ate. A lot of my health issues that I had, I know it sounds silly because I'm, being skinny, you don't have issues. You don't have health issues. It's, you're
Probably one of the
skinny.
biggest fights of our marriage is that he was skinny.
But I was unhealthy because my body was destroying itself from the inside out. I always had gut issues, stomach issues, and no matter what I did, I would try to work out and I would get sick. I try to work out a lot, I'd get sick. I'd be out for like a week, week and a half, and then I have to reset. And it's just this cycle.
I know so many people in our lives who they're always sick. They work out and then but then they're sick. And then they get better and they work out and then they get sick again. And you have to ask yourself, like, is that you? Or are you working out and you're frustrated because you're not seeing any progress or changes in yourself? That was me. I was the typical overweight, ate a salad, worked out, and was like completely self-defeating because I was never like happy, or I was always hungry or hangry. You could call it hangry. So, God, that was me. And it's so crazy because this is not a carnivore rant. This is just like a health, it's health focus. It's like focus on what you're putting in your body. It's crazy to see. And a doctor told me this once, and it's like 80-20 rule. It's the 80-20 rule. You can work out all you want because that only contributes to 20% of your actual health. 80% of your health has to do with what you put in your mouth, is what he told me. Like literally, what do you put in that mouth is 80% of your health. 20% only comes from the gym or working out. And I was kind of like, okay. So I can't go to the gym for 3 hours or 2 hours or an hour and eat whatever I want and expect results. So that was eye-opening for me. That was years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since I changed the way that I started eating, once I figured it out, because I was a skeptic, but once I figured it out,
He was a big skeptic.
big skeptic, but once I figured it out and I started to see it and I completely flipped the way I was eating. So I was, again, high protein and high fat. And I was totally against fat. I'll be straight up with you. I didn't understand it, but I was against it. But I think my body was telling me that it needs to change. It needs something to fix it. And so I learned over time that this is the way that my body was kind of like self-correcting, is that I needed to change the way that I was eating, what I was putting in my mouth. But in doing so, it was weird because I started to feel better. I started to have kind of a little bit more of an uplifting mood. Like things weren't weighing me down as much anymore. Because of that, I shifted the way that I work out. So no longer was I trying to do an hour of these reps and sets and reps and sets every single day, and then crashing 3 days later, so sore in bed. And then I'm like, I'm gonna have a lazy day, a day off, and that day off ends up kicking you off the wagon. And then 2 months go by, and you're like, oh my God, I gotta do this. I gotta do it. I'm committed. 3 days later, off the wagon. But the way that I changed with the way that I eat, high protein, the clarity came from it, the confidence that came from it, the fact that when I worked out, and I'm talking about, and you guys should know by now, is 3 minute workout 3 times a day. Literally, that's it. But this micro move, this 3 minute workout, because I have my body is primed, high protein, it's a protein abundant state. Those 3 minute workouts continuously builds momentum, and my body is building on it and building on it and building on it. So I can get, I honestly say, like I probably get 10x the results from 3 minutes, 3 times a day, than I would if I went to the gym for an hour and a half every single day and burned out. And so I see it like this is it
And we're not
has.
giving health advice. We're just telling our story. All for the health coaches out there. We're not giving health advice. We're just telling our story.
But I see that, like, for me, it was like, how is this going to work long term? Because it wasn't working the way that I was doing it before. And so I was like, it's got to be stupid simple. And this is something I carry through with everything. It's got to be stupid simple. And what I call now an unbreakable truth, meaning that if I don't do it, I'm stupid. It's like, it's right in front of me. The kettlebell is right there in front of the bathroom. And if I don't pick it up and I step over it, then, you know.
It's funny because our house is super tidy. It's super organized. It's also super minimal. It looks like a hotel. Just because of, I've learned over the years that is how I needed to function. Right. If it gets too out of control, I get overstimulated. But for workouts, it's funny because his is right in front of the bathroom, so he does it. Mine are in the closet because I have to go in the closet every day to get dressed, and my butt has to trip over those kettlebells or mat. And so there's like no excuses. And I literally work out in my closet 3 times a week.
What's funny though is,
Literally.
Libby doesn't know this, but what's funny is that I'm in the kitchen and I'm over here, like, let's just say after we do our date morning, our walk, because we always do 3.5 miles walking, not running, but walking and talking. And again, this is our microtherapy. But once I'm in the kitchen, we're getting settled in and whatnot. I hear this.
Yeah, you can hear me breathing.
Then I'm like, oh, okay, she's working out.
Well, what's your battle with the coffee maker?
The what?
Your goal, wait, what's your goal with the coffee maker? What do you do while the coffee's making?
Oh, yeah. So, and by the way, I have alarms on my phone as well, but I have a ritual. I am all about rituals when it comes to these micro habits. When 5:30 in the morning, or I'm sorry, 6 o'clock, is kind of like the go time to make the cup of coffee. I'll get it. We have the whatever it's
DeLonghi.
called, De'Longhi, so I can like push the button and it grinds it and makes it. But I'll set it there. I got everything ready. I push the button. I go walk straight over to where in front of the couch. There's a carpet there, and I time myself. I compete. I go and I do 50 push-ups. By the time it's done finishing pouring into the cup, I'm done the 50, and I'm making sure that I have to be done the 50 because I can kind of time it out. And then once I'm done there, I'm panting, of course. But I go and get the coffee, and yep, I go and bring it into the room.
So the whole point is like make it so easy that there's no excuses. The kettlebell's in my closet. I have to go there to get dressed. The kettlebell for him is like at the bathroom door. And it, when there's such simple tiny moves or habits that like the kettlebell laying like being right in front of the bathroom door doesn't bother me because like they're such simple habits. It's not like you have 15 kettlebells in front of the door. It's like
that one
one.
thing has meaning.
So the reason we're sharing, like, hey, this next level stress, and I'm not gonna lie, like, I'm under an immense amount of pressure, like pressure from the companies, pressure with managing and dealing with the writers and publisher and like the media team that I fired. I'm under a tremendous amount of stress or pressure. And I told Chris, I said, it doesn't even feel bad. Like, I'm not even stressed out. I can feel the pressure and I can feel it inside me and I can feel it like, oh my God, it's going to explode, but it's like a great explosion. It's an explosion to the next level. It's not explosion of like self-destruction. And I told him, I said, you know what? I think it's like the food. I'm gonna not gonna lie. Ever since I've been on carnivore, I don't have the anxiety or the self-defeating stress that destroys you. It's kind of like, yeah, I'm stressed out. I'm like, oh yeah, there's like, it's pressure. I can feel it. But it's funny because there is no self-doubt in that. It's like, yeah, we can get that done. Yeah, no problem. Like, yeah. And it's just interesting to like, because you're like, man, the previous version of me would be in the corner crying. I wouldn't be in the corner crying, but you know what I mean? Be in the corner crying. And I think everything, like I said, I was supposed to be at a conference this week. It ended yesterday, and I decided not to go. And it was funny because I was talking to a friend, Amber Spears. She wears hats too. She's a
She's a
super
cool
big,
chick.
yeah, she's super cool, a super big influencer. And she's like, Libby. And I was talking to her and Adelie, and Adelie's pretty famous. I found myself sitting at a table on.
Friday?
It was Friday night, and it was Amber Spears and Adelie. She's a social media influencer, and I just read the latest version of the book manuscript, and I was just so like, this is not right. Like, this is not. There's a disconnect somewhere. This is not right. I don't know what's going on, but it's not right. I called Chris, and I was like, this is not right. And I was meeting Amber, and well, I didn't know who Adelie was at the time. I knew her. I've seen her on social media, but I didn't really realize that's who I was sitting with. She didn't have her hat on because she wears hats too. It was like chicks with hats. And I was like, Amber said, and Adelie said the same thing. They're like, this is the world testing you, Libby. This is the world testing you. Say, are you ready to be an author? Like, are you ready to be a best-selling author at that? And if you can't like do these things, and if you can't push that writer, and you can't do this, and you're not happy with the media team, like, then you're not ready. And they're, I mean, I already knew that. But like just hearing someone else tell it to me, really changed a lot of things. And I called Chris and I said, I'm not going to the next conference. I'm coming home. And God, am I so glad I came home, because there's
Wow.
no way. There's no. Let me tell you what. If I wanted to went to that conference, there's no way I would had the I would had to I would have had the amount of focus needed to achieve what I'm trying to achieve.
No, what you are achieving right now.
Or what I am achieving. Pretty mind blowing just to see what's happening right now. There's no way. And Amber was right. I'm being tested to say, we had this whole conversation about women and vendors and like, like people would never do that to a man kind of conversation. It didn't get like super feminine or Me Too-ish. It just got like, when we stand up for ourselves, you're automatically looked at it like a, you know what, BTICH. But if you're not happy, then don't do it. Like, don't do it. Don't continue with it. Stand your ground. And it was interesting because I decided to come home and say, you know what, you're like, I need to focus. I need to focus. I've put so much money and so much time. If I go, and I miss seeing my friends too at the conference, but if I go, that isn't serving me or the greater purpose of all of the things I worked on in the past. And it's actually going to set me up to fail. And it wasn't where I should be. And let me tell you what, I have to say that this whole kind of moving out of communities, because I have to make space for what's like the next thing and the next level. And so I've had to make hard choices. And that's one of those things with like one layer deep. It's cutting out the things that no longer serve you. And that is, there's no shame in that. And I think that's the one message I want to share today, is like, there's no shame in, yeah, I'm under pressure, but like, man, how I handle it now is different, but there's no shame in that. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I am. Yesterday I had to tell Chris, please stop talking.
Yeah.
I looked at him and I was like, please stop talking to me. I'm like, I can't handle it right now. Like, no more, there's no more space in my brain, please.
But I get it.
Like, and there's no shame in that. Like, there's no shame in asking for help. There's no shame in saying, I can't go to this conference because if I do, I will self-destruct or I won't reach my goals. There's no shame in it. There's no shame in telling the writer, like, hey, I am not happy with this. Change it. There's no shame in firing the media company because I wasn't happy with it. And I think we're so worried about what other people think or say when it comes to those things, or just admitting that you're under stress. We're like, I have to focus. And this focus is so important because it's not just me. This focus is for the DeLucian family. So if you're a DeLucian family member, I'm not just doing this for me. I'm doing this for the DeLucian legacy. This focus is for the Garcia family. If you're a Garcia, it's not just me, it's the Garcia legacy. And it's like, this is what I'm doing to kind of pave the way for the kids that are Garcias or DeLucians or Morrises. My boys are Morrises. This is for the Morris family and the legacy. It's not just about me. And like, when you put those things aside, it's okay to like say, one, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I don't know what I'm doing, but it's okay because I'm not scared and I'm not stressed out. And I have great people around me that I've put in place, whether they're like my husband or I have a coach who's like guiding us. I mean, we have like 3 calls a week with this guy, a consultant for the book launch. Like, I have the people around me, but it's okay to tell them. Like the other day I told my coach, I'm like, I don't know. He's like, that is actually the greatest answer you could have said, that you don't know. I don't know. But on the other side of all of this, like the stress and like the anxiety and the pressure building and the excitement of like what Chris and I are trying to achieve for our family and the legacy of the Garcia DeLucian Morris, it's also extremely lonely. Extremely lonely. I'm not going to lie. Like the people you thought that were going to be rallying behind you, it's like crickets. And you were like, man, I thought these were like my family or my friends. And it's so weird because strangers that follow you on social media are the ones actually helping you get through this or helping you continue to drive change. It's just so interesting. And I don't know if it's like intimidation or envy, or I don't know, but it's kind of a really lonely, if you think entrepreneurism is lonely, you should try like what we're trying to currently do. It's extremely lonely and also disappointing, like that you've helped so many years. I think we've done so much and helped so much. And then you are like, the people you think are going to be your biggest fans are just like dead in the water.
Yeah. So I want to take that and break it down. And I think that it's been what we've talked through and really worked through. And it's the concept of, it's the idea of leaving the cards on the table.
Yeah.
Leaving the cards where they lie. And whether somebody picks them up or not is not your struggle. It's not your worry. And I see this going to where a lot of other, and I'm talking about great leaders, go, is that they put the cards on the table and they leave them there. And it's not their responsibility to make somebody pick them up.
No.
But I see this happening, and this is the new version. It's peeling off that layer. This is the new version of Libby and myself, and whoever else is in this position of massive change, is that it's the next level of an understanding about community, sense of community, and people in a greater sense, not just an individual or a single person, because that is asking them to pick up the card. That's not the thing here. It's community where the cards are there and the person that you would expect to pick it up will not pick it up. 600 others around them will.
And so hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WootRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today. I mean, and so I have been just overwhelmed with support from people that I have no idea who they are, or overwhelmed with support of people that I met within the cleaning community or like lawn care community. Like I was just having a conversation with Chester yesterday in the lawn care space, like with Jonas in the pest control space, like overwhelming support from outside communities. And that I'm so grateful for. It's like opening a gift every time I open my social media, because it's like, oh my God, so many great people just following and supporting on this. But like where Chris was going is that sometimes the ones you expected to do it And I think that's probably for me the most disappointing thing.
And this is the next step of having to peel off that.
It's because I care too
I
much.
know, but it's having to peel that off to say, it's here if you want it. I'm not going to push. I'm going to keep running. If you want to run beside me, fantastic. I'll see you at your finish line.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, I care so much. That's my biggest, you know, we all have self-sabotaging tendencies. And one of mine is, you know, I care more, you know, probably for others than they care for me. And that's why it's, for me, it's like hard to kind of, it's lonely. And especially when you literally are asking for their help. Like you're asking them literally for their help. And like you get like nothing in return. And you're
It
just
was
kind of
quiet.
like, okay. They're like, what kind of a horrible person am I that when I ask for help, I didn't get anything, but when they ask for help, they expect it, you know? And I'm not upset or anything like that. I'm just like, it's really interesting to watch this unfold. And I'm like, man, one, this is lonely. This is a lonely, lonely road because not very many people can help me with the book launch. Like the one thing that Dan Martell told me when I was launching a book, I've had a couple conversations with him about it. And then Matt Verlach as well. Matt Verlach worked for SAS Academy, and then he helped. He was one of the writers for Software as a Science. They told me, they warned me. They said, "Libby, this is hard and this is lonely. It's gonna be all about you doing this." And they literally told me the people you thought that were gonna help you aren't gonna be there, and your biggest supporters online you never knew who they were gonna be the ones that were gonna help you. And you don't see it until it starts to unfold, and you're like, "Wow, they were right."
Yeah. But the funny thing is, knowing this, and you have to change yourself in order to get past it, because the thing that we came across was that you have to keep running as fast as humanly possible, no matter of who is running behind you. If they can keep up and they keep running with you, fantastic. If they don't, then this is not their position in life. This is not their point in life to run with you.
Yeah.
And I think that's the hardest truth, is because you're going to see a lot of people fall off as you're running faster and faster and faster.
That's probably the hardest thing for me. And that causes me another level of like stress or anxiety or pressure or whatever we want to call it, is that the people that don't want to run with you and you want them to come. Like a great example is the kids in the family, like just not just like my kid, like Billy and Austin are our kids. It's my nieces and my nephews. Like I want them to come with us because I'm like, I've paid for these coaches and these mentors, and I'm literally like, we're killing ourselves. We're not really killing ourselves, but we're
To the
pushing
point
ourselves.
king.
And I want to see what that point of breaking is. I haven't found it yet. We'll see where it's at. I'm excited to kind of find the point of breaking and then stop. But I, you know, it's sad because I want them to come with me. I want them to be on this journey because maybe they want to do it one day. Maybe they can learn. And, you know, and the people that fall off or the people that don't come, that's the sad part for me because it's, I'm like, I want to share it with you. Come with me because it's not fun if I do it by myself. It's not fun if you do it by yourself.
Yeah.
That's the truth. It's just not. Can you read what Faith said?
So Faith said exactly, I'm running at this pace, either keep up or move over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what Dawn's saying?
She said it's a them problem, not a
Yeah.
you problem.
No, it is. But it's the next level problem. So we have this in when we first start our businesses, and then you know, you create peers and friends and family in your space, right? And then you move to next level. And then you lose those peers and friends and families in that space because you're moving to next level. And it's a them problem. They don't want to come. So it's interesting to watch.
Yeah.
It's like I said, it's sad because I want the kids, the younger people in our families to
Yeah.
come to learn, but they don't want to. So it's like,
Yeah.
okay.
And here's the thing too, and I 100% agree, but
Except for Jaden. I gotta give it up to Jaden if she's watching. She might be watching.
know, one of the things with running fast and being unapologetically fast, because when you move, it keeps moving and it's an accelerant. It keeps going and going and going faster and faster and faster. There is no stopping this train. There is no stopping. I think that's the one thing that I realized the other day, and I posted about it this morning as well, but there is no stopping. And so if there's somebody there who isn't ready to keep up, they got to know that there is no stopping. But here's the thing is
But
it's
then
not,
don't make me slow down for you.
no, but it's not cold. We're going to leave you. Not that it's a negative. And I want to make
Yeah.
this clear, is that it's not a move over, get out of my way. It's a leave again, lay the cards on the table and step away with gratitude. It was great. I'll see you on the other side. And it's just You can't slow down.
No, you can't. And as much as I want to bring certain people, especially like I said, the younger people in our families, you know, they have other priorities, which is fine. But where I get tickled is that then they'll private message me like, "Hey, Libby, can you help me with this?" I'm like, my new answer is gonna be like, "You can just go find it on social media. I just talked about it yesterday." And so.
It's not being cold. It's because the time has to be put towards something that is bigger than you, and you would be selfish if you stepped away to focus on.
So that's a great point. And so for everyone, you know, as we're on this road to bestseller and all these things, and you know, I might be, and that's why I said I sent a message to the family and actually to the businesses that, hey, I'm going to be harder to get a hold of, just to let you know. I'm not doing it on purpose. I'm just hyper focused. And this is one thing that we have to do. And when I was saying like I'm sad because I have to leave people behind, I am sad, but don't get me wrong. That is not slowing me down whatsoever. I'm just kind of telling you how I feel. Because this is morning date and we're transparent here. We talk about everything, our feelings. And if I didn't feel sad, I wouldn't even be human, guys. Come on. But this is one thing that we have to re like that I know is happening and I see it, and we have to realize as we grow for all my entrepreneurs is that you're going to be harder to get a hold of and you're not going to be able to do one-on-one things as much anymore because the ability of your impact can be massive. If you say, if I took an hour to one-on-one coach you versus if I took that hour to share online with thousands of people, right? And it's like, it's intentional. Like, what are you trying to do? And I'm not saying I'm choosing one or the other. I'm just saying that's an example of one-on-one coaching, which is highly impactful to that one person. But if I can change 1,000 people's lives in that hour, which one would you choose? Right? It's a great question. If I have a great conversation with one employee versus having a really great conversation, impactful conversation with all my employees at the same time, which one would you choose? Right? Can you change one life or thousands? It's a great and like way to look at things versus, and that's why we see like a lot of one-on-one coaches. It doesn't scale, right? It doesn't scale. It's really hard to scale. And that's why they go to like the programs or the courses, kind of fundamental like basis. But then that's also why we see like for coaches, because I have coaches, I've been in programs, I'm like is that's why those courses or coaches, they have high churn. Yeah, like they turn over a lot of members because it's like that one-on-one versus 1,000. Which one is, and I guess it just depends on your vision and your goal at the end of the day. Which one are you trying to achieve and which one will get you there the fastest?
Yeah, you know, in choosing, this is the way that I think. In choosing who's the right person to help, you know, I could help somebody as the person that wants to listen. But here's the thing is you can choose to help who's at a certain level, and helping them with that one thing gives them, let's just say, 5% better clarity, better life, whatever. But that same application of time or effort into another person who's starting at zero. That same moment that you choose to contribute to that one person who's starting at zero ends up having 100 or 400-fold the amount of clarity or change in their life compared to the other person. Which one would you choose?
Yeah, that's why I said it's a hard decision.
Yeah.
Like, and so Dawn said, you know, the younger generation is a whole different breed. I would agree and disagree at the same time. I think it just depends. I recently brought someone into my world, and her name is Jaden. If she's watching, and she's only, I don't even know how old she is, 19, 20. And I hired her to help me with some things in the building in Oklahoma. And so she's kind of like helping with some things there and managing the bills. And because that was like a massive move and I don't live there. And I'm like, who's like paying the water bill in the cabin? We have a cabin in Georgia. And I'm like, the water got shut off because I forgot to pay it. Like, so, you know, I brought her on and, you know, when we were talking about like one to many versus one-on-one or the younger generation of the, man, is she motivated to learn? And man, she wants to learn and she wants to help. And she's funny. She's following me on social media.
She's probably gonna watch this too.
She's probably gonna watch this. And she sent me a video and she goes, can I find more of these kind of, where can I find more of these kind of videos? And it was me like sharing something or teaching something. And she's like, man. And she's like, oh, I watched this video and she'll come in and she'll like, and I'm like, oh, she wants to come along for the ride. Like she's
She's hungry.
very hungry to learn if given the opportunity. And so I think it's, you know, the one to many versus one to one is an interesting topic about, you know, when it comes to like, just, and this isn't anything, business, life, like, do I, because it also causes stress and anxiety and pressure to say, like, do I put my attention here or here? Where will I make the most impact? Here or here? And it's really, you know, up to you to decide what is the long-term goal. And if that goal or that vision, and I think like goal is such a buzzword, right? I don't know. I'm not trying to justify the word. Is if that goal or that vision does not make you excited to like go to sleep so that you can wake up early so that you can continue to work, I would suggest that you go back to the drawing board, and that's not the goal. It might be something inside there, it might be something around there, but it's not that goal. It's you haven't found it yet. Or if you let the stress or pressure get to you, maybe you haven't found it yet, right?
Yeah, and I've explained this a lot when I go through the interviews in our the Ditlows, the Day in the Life Ofs, which will be in the book,
Yes, they will
One
be in
Layer
the book.
Deep. But you know, talking to somebody and asking them, and this is something to ask yourself, is what is the thing that you're so fired up about that drives you to the point to where you're able to get up, wake up in the morning, and throw your covers off of your bed and go straight to whatever it is, the computer, whatever that might be, to just dive into it. And I don't mean dive into it because it's bills or because you forgot to do payroll or whatever else. I'm talking about what really fires you up to the point.
So the last few days, me and Chris were like, do I have to shower and change my clothes, or can I just go right to work? Like, I want to get, like, he's so excited. He's like, I'm like, well, you can just shower later in the afternoon if you want. Like, and he's like, is it so bad that I don't even want to eat? Because I'm like, I'm so motivated. That's when you know you've found it. Like, it's like that you're so motivated that you don't even want to shower. You don't even want to eat food. You want to go to sleep so you can wake up. Because you know,
Yeah.
like, oh, I have to go to sleep. Like, let me go to sleep so I can wake up tomorrow at 5:30 in the morning.
And if you haven't absolutely 100% without any degree of hesitation found it, if you haven't found that yet, or ask yourself, you know, is this it? And keep saying not good enough. It's not good enough. Unless you say absolutely. If you say I'm not sure, maybe, or no, it's not good enough. Go back to the drawing board,
It's
figure it
not good
out. There's
enough.
something else, there's something underneath of it. It's not good enough.
And it's got to be very, very, very specific. Because if it's general, guys, you're going to allow chaos, you're going to allow life, you're going to allow challenges to throw you off the wagon. Like, you're going to allow the interruptions to disrupt it. You're going to allow for bad days. Like, I haven't had a bad day. How long has it been since we've had like a, and I'm not trying to brag, but like, I haven't even thought about this till right now. How long has it been since we've had a bad day?
Like past 30 seconds?
Like, where we don't want to work or get out of bed, or like, God, I don't even know.
No.
Like,
Now,
we.
don't get me wrong. There are things that happen throughout the day that try to throw you off course, but it's just a matter of how you deal with it.
Oh, yeah. It's like 30 seconds later, we're good. I haven't had a bad day in like a year, probably.
And we've daily get into arguments.
Oh, yeah. We get into an argument all the time.
Yeah. But I also attribute that, like, when you say bad day, you're also talking
Oh,
about bad marriage.
no, I'm talking about like a bad day, like where you want to eat those ding dongs and
Just
Twinkies,
throw the covers over your head.
throw the covers and not get out of bed. Oh, when I was a kid, I used to love chocolate frosted donuts. You eat those chocolate frosted donuts and you just don't want to do it. You don't want to get up and you don't want to look at your computer and you like hide from the, no, like I haven't had one of those in forever. Or a day that we miss exercising. Because we don't have days off. We let the universe tell us when we need a day off. And if the universe doesn't tell us that we need a day off, then we don't take a day off. So, you know, it's, God, I was going to say something and now I forgot what it was.
It's a bad day.
The bad day. But I would say that if you haven't found that vision, and that doesn't have to be large. Like, your goal doesn't have to be, I'm changing the world. Like, it can just be like what you want to do 6 months from now or a year from now. And it changes. So that's why, like, don't put too much. I told Chris this morning, I'm like, people take things too seriously. Like, and then when you take it too seriously, it feels like heavy and overwhelming. And then I feel like I have to learn everything about it. And then it feels like impossible because I learned everything about it. Don't take it too seriously. Like, it could change. You could go to sleep tomorrow and wake up and my vision has changed. Your vision will change.
Yeah.
But like, don't take it too seriously, as in you don't need to know everything about it. You don't need to understand everything about it. You don't need to justify it. You just need to know how to honor it.
Yeah. And just like with grit, and this is for the younger listeners out there, just like with grit is you don't have to have a master plan, because most of the time it doesn't come about. And for me, I thought audio was a master plan. I committed to it, I stuck to it, I kept sticking to it. I got burnt out and I had to break it down and figure it out again. Is this absolutely? Is it maybe? Is it not sure? If it's
Yeah.
not absolutely, it's not good enough.
Can you go
But
get me, oh,
yeah. What do you need?
my iPad on the table? I want to share a thought with everybody since we're talking about like vision and goals and taking it too seriously. And this did not come from me. I had a great author on my podcast. So once you write a book, like, you get exposed to a whole new world. I had a great author on the podcast, and he talked about, he wrote a business book, and it was so interesting because we had like the exact thought process when it came to certain things. But, you know, when we would talk about vision and we talk about goals and we talk about like our future selves, and don't get me wrong, like, I'm a huge fan of like live your future self now, or be your future self now. I can't remember it. But here's the one thing that you don't want to do. Like, you don't want to postpone living, and you don't want to live in the someday. Like, someday I'm going to change the world. Someday I'm going to change lives. Like, someday I'm going to move to Florida and retire. Like, someday, because you never know when, if that someday will ever come. You don't want to postpone living, because then what was the point? Like, the whole analogy, you could die tomorrow. You could die in a car accident. You know, the whole, why don't you move to Florida right now? Like, you could tell me every excuse in the world, but why don't you move to Florida right now?
And that's the same, the thought process of, it's got to be absolutely. If it's maybe, if it's I'm not sure, then you're living in between. You're living in transit. And that's what that tells me, is someday is living in transit.
Have to live for right now, right now. That's kind of why I wasn't a very big fan of EOS. They wanted me to do a 10-year vision. I'm like, I can't even think past tomorrow. A 10-year vision. I'm like, really? Like, 10 years? Come on. And then, so here's the thing, I want everyone listening, and this is the way I've been living my life literally every day for the last couple years, is I'm not going to postpone my living, right? If I want a great marriage, I'm going to have one right now. I'm not going to have one when I have time. I'm not going to have one once my business reaches $1 million. I'm going to do it right now. And I'm not going to live in the someday, because I experienced what that happens. I mean, my ex died. His birthday was last week. He would have been 47 years old. And he passed away, I don't even know how many years ago it was. I don't even remember. I think it's been 9 years now. God, time flies. And we took Austin out to dinner to celebrate his dad's birthday last week, to his favorite restaurant. But I learned that when he passed away, is that I'm not going to live in the someday. So with your goals, like, if you want to be $1 million company, or $3 million, or like this, and then I'll spend more time with my kids, or someday I'll retire and move to Florida. It's not, you can't live in that, because you have to live in the right now, like in the right now, in the right now, because that is the only time that actually exists. The past is gone. It doesn't even exist anymore. It is gone. And for someone like me, because I have aphantasia, it's really sad. I told Chris last night, I said, it's sad because I can't remember certain things. I can't even remember what I told you last night. I couldn't remember.
Was it?
No, the when? Kids, oh. When the kids were born. I can only recall if anything was ever retold in a story form. I can only recall the story. I, because aphantasia means I have no vision. Like, I can't envision anything. I can't recall it, the past. I can only recall it if it was ever told in a story form. So, like, I can barely recall our wedding. And I thought maybe I had too much wine at the wedding. And I kept asking myself, like, why can't I recall certain things? And only if the story was retold in a memory can I recall it, because it doesn't exist. It actually doesn't exist.
If it was never captured and logged.
It doesn't exist to you anymore. It's gone.
Yeah.
It's only a memory. So we have to live in the right now. The only time that exists is now. The past is gone and the future is not guaranteed. And so if you want, you know, Dawn said that her future, her goal was her faith in changing lives. So Dawn, I would say, why can you do that today? What can you do today that will honor that goal versus waiting? I don't know if you're waiting or not. So I'm not saying you aren't or you're not. I'm just saying, versus waiting until my business is this big, or until I have this much time, or until I have this much money, because the past is gone. It doesn't exist. The future is not guaranteed. And the only thing that's real is today. And so it's really great to like think about it in those terms, that that's it. All you have is like the only thing that's guaranteed right now is today. And so once I realized that and I started acting that way every day, then that changed our lives.
Yeah. And I will say that my mom and my dad were perfect examples of both sides of that idea. My dad lived I would say the second half of his life, he lived in transit. So it was always based on someday. And so I grew up with that. Before that, he was a confident, strong, young, again, I say young, but really it's vibrant man. But then something changed later on. And what I caught was we got a puppy over here running around.
Dog.
He's like a wrecking ball, a fuzzy wrecking ball. But what changed, it changed with me to where he started to live his life in transit. He never got or connected to the things that really he was passionate about. and I saw this regression. No, but he lived in transit. So I don't wanna live in transit. I don't wanna have to deal with that.
No. And I think that's the cycle that we actually get into as entrepreneurs. And I think that's the cycle we get in as with entrepreneurism, is that we're making all these future goals, these future, when I hit $1 million, when I do this, when I do that, and we get stuck living in the someday and not in today. Yeah. And I was guilty of that for the longest time. Like, when I hit $1 million, I'm gonna buy an orange Jeep Wrangler.
That wasn't the real issue, by the way.
No. I told Chris I could have bought a Jeep Wrangler years ago. I keep using it as an excuse. There's something preventing me from buying the orange Jeep Wrangler. Probably because it's a really uncomfortable car. It's a fun car, but uncomfortable. But I think I got stuck in this as an entrepreneur, is living in the someday, the someday, the someday. When I do this, when I do that. And what it did was, it actually created slow growth. It created stagnation in me and in the company, living in that someday. And then it can cause stagnation in your marriage and in your family and in your home. So I think that's a very powerful phrase. Again, I didn't say it. It was, don't postpone your living. Don't live in the someday. Live right now. The only time that exists is now. The past is gone and the future isn't guaranteed. Yeah. Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WooRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today.